It's 8 o'clock and time for Business Half Hour here on Classic FM 97.3 for you just tuning in. And Ugo Dre is back after the holiday. Nice to have you, Ugo.
Yes. Good morning, Bukola. Good morning, Lagos. I went to rest.
It's needed.
Not necessarily rest because I actually walked all through, you know. But then I decided that, look, you got to take some break off some things. And okay. This is one. I remember when you did your own holiday. I didn't complain.
No. I'm not complaining.
Because you looked as if you were complaining. Like, I wanted Christmas. We were just saying stuff.
No. I understood. Also, we have Taiwo Oyewole from Neurometrics as well this morning.
Good
morning.
Hi, Taiwo.
How are you doing? Yeah,
fine, very well, thank you.
Nice to have you.
All right. Lagos. How's your holiday? We learned that traffic is out there already.
Lagos is back.
On a Monday.
Is there a way we can
January 7th
just leave it the way it was during Christmas?
We always have this 1 week of enjoyment and
you're cruising when you're driving. All right, so what do we expect this morning? What tips do you have for us?
Maybe towards end of the show we'll probably have a guest on, but we thought that today so Taiwo and I are basically going to do a recap of 2018. I mean, 2018 was a very busy year. I think if you check on my Twitter handle, we actually put out some of the major deals that happened in Nigeria in 2018. As bad as the economy was, a lot of money came in Taiwo, didn't it?
Yes, it is. Quite a lot of money. And I think a lot of money also left.
And
a lot of money came in
and a lot of money left as well.
But it's quite interesting with the way you said that. So it was a balance sort of, because at some point people thought money wasn't coming in.
Money came in. Money, I mean, like there was some money in a lot of, so let's look at it in a number of ways. So in terms of capital importation, a lot less came in. Right, if you look at even the CBN's foreign exchange reserve, at some point this year we are like 50 billion, but net we are like 43, but it was a net gain, okay, compared to the same period in 2017, early 2017. So yes, some money came in, but then if you look at small business, which is the space that we cover on this show, a lot of companies attracted quite some significant capital. I mean, there was a lot of deals that went down in this year, especially in the tech space, where you have this startup community and people trying to do amazing things. So, I mean, it was a good year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I mean, huge sums. People raising funding on different levels. Some for expansion into other African countries. Just some of them as well as just to scale up their operations locally. There are quite a number of other foreign players or actors who actually expanded into the country as well. But I mean, I think within the tech space, I mean, the fintech, I think, got a lot of funding.
Yeah, a whole lot
of money.
I mean, was it, I think the likes of Paga, Shoremade, Paystack.
Yeah.
Flutterwave also raised
some money.
I think the biggest was probably Cellulant. Cellulant raised, was it $47 million? Bukola, are you hearing that kind of money?
It's alarming. I mean, so when you hear those kinds of figures, in there, I hope it translates into something good.
But Taiwo, does this money actually come in? Does it really, is it that the money just gets into their bank account, or is it just that they've announced that they'll give them, say, $40 million, but maybe they stagger it over a period of time, or how does it really work?
So it varies depending on who's funding, who the funders are, and based on the kind of agreement you sign. Some of them would have milestones. They would have do them in tranches. Some of them would do them lump sum. Mm. Some of them would do them based on you, again, meeting certain requirements, and so on and so forth there. But largely, if it's foreign fund, if they're foreign funds, a lot of the times the discretion is left to the entrepreneurs or the local companies to run as they seem fit. As it deemed fit in itself. So, I mean, I guess they just get the credit a lot.
Yeah, because I've always thought that, some of us have not received this kind of money before, Sha. So, I mean, it's not like I didn't ever think that, they get all that money in one block. So, investors don't really put money in like that. So, they commit, but then, just like Taiwo said, they also give you milestones that you need to meet.
Okay, so
before they start
to dole it out.
Yeah, they start to give it to you in tranches. You know, basically. Mm. So
it makes sense because you go crazy with that kind of money given to your box.
So and also because it's also some of them would be equity based, so they're buying a stake in the company. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's how some of those things have been. Some of these transactions can take a longer time. So a lot of the guys who are funding or who are releasing the funds as well have some of these monies tied up in other places. Mm. It takes them a while to also get them. They try to look at regulatory requirements in terms of getting funding in and so on and so forth like that. There, and then seeing how you're also making progress. Again, like I said, depends on who's funding you based on whatever kind of agreement you come to, you know, in terms of receiving the funding like that there. But it just makes sense because having money sitting down, $10 million sitting down in a bank account is almost useless. And all you're doing is just drawing down on that money.
You need to put it to work.
So sometimes a lot of those funds actually start somewhere else and they commit, like we mentioned earlier. So they commit and say, look, okay, we'll commit $1 million to this. Another one will say we'll do $500,000. Another one will say we'll do $3 million and so on and so forth. But it will be at X, Y, and Z time, to be able to meet up to all of that. So sometimes they don't really have all the bulk money.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Excuse me. There was somebody I won't mention his name, but the CEO, big CEO of one of the oldest do I call it fintech company? Well, back then, that trend fintech wasn't the one world. And he was telling me that, there was one time that he gave a startup founder some kind of money like that, and then a few months later he was traveling and he was in business class. I saw the guy sitting in business class with him. I was like, I see this boy, right? So sometimes this kind of money can just get you. Like, it's just so much. And the guy was like, man, he has to be, he has to, like, he can't be flying economy and all that. He has to be flying.
What is wrong with us? Why that mentality? You always feel you need to create some sort of
status
for yourself and at the expense of the businesses you're running. Because when you look at a lot of black businesses, Nigeria especially, that is what happens. You now realize that they think, they've gotten to a certain level. I can't sit with those in economy. Are we not heading in the same direction? Is the way you conserve your funds that will determine eventually how that business would last? Am I wrong?
Yes. In some cases, right, some of these things can be allowed. So there's some kind of businesses that you might have that requires, that you have a CEO that, maybe has some kind of, posture, especially in terms of status. Some, not all. But most of them, really, you don't need it because, if you're a startup, you're expected to be very frugal. And if you're going to be spending money, you're spending money on things that are very tangible, things that are very measurable.
Really. To really pose that kind of impression, your business should have risen to a certain point, not when you're just starting out. It's a different case. Okay, you've gotten to a certain stage and how long have you been on? Maybe like 10 years or 15 years. They expect certain things from you just because they want to be a part of it. But you're not just starting out. And you think, you want to start rubbing shoulders with the Dangotes and the rest in the economy. I don't know if I'm making sense.
I think you do. You're right. That's such volumes of cash sometimes can make you take decisions, without thinking too much because it's just, the money's there anyway. You write it off, your company will write it off in the end. But again, it also goes to exposure, what the kind of stuff we're made of. So
what is the litmus test if I were to invest in a business? I've got money and I'm looking at, these guys, they look like they have what it takes, but how can I be too careful to say, if I give these guys this money, are they going to do justice with it?
So typically, most maybe early stage investors that I've spoken to would tell me that, look, most times at that stage you invest in people, right? So a lot of times the character of the person really matters, so especially those that have gotten their fingers burnt a few times, they look at the people and the kind of guys, look at their background, their friends, where they're from, their lifestyle, and this basically determines whether this is somebody that you can actually trust your money on. Because remember, you're investing in someone, not necessarily you're investing in an idea and the fact that the person has the capacity to execute that idea. So you like that person's tenacity, you like that person's determination, his drive. But at the same time, you want to check that, look, is this a very frugal person, or is this somebody who really has this very flamboyant lifestyle that he likes to maintain? And if you know that that person has a flamboyant lifestyle that he likes to maintain, there's every likelihood that he's always going to be on that lifestyle. And if you also check, you find out some of them have actually run other failed startups as well. So these days it's becoming common, isn't it, Taiwo, that a lot of guys are, they're just serial
entrepreneurs,
like from one field business to another, to another, to another, like that. They keep, and then sometimes they might just jump into luck and they actually make some, a lot of money in one of those businesses and then probably sell off or something like that. Yeah. So that's basically it. Yeah, so that's for money. A lot of money was raised in the fintech space. I think fintech is going to be huge again this year, don't you think so?
I think so, but I personally would like to see a lot more depth. I think there's a lot of breadth.
Somebody was saying that fintech is maybe like another hack or something. Like, it's not like they're actually creating like real products. It's just like people just coding things, and they're not really.
I won't disagree with that thought.
That they were going to run the banks out and things like that. Would that have happened?
That's not going to happen. So, no, because the major infrastructure we still have still sits, financial infrastructure we have, or backbone we have, still sits with a lot of the banks, you know, the traditional institutions that we have today.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not make any mistake about it. They're well capitalized. I mean, those guys have cash, you know, so they've got cash, they've got experience in the marketplace, you know, and they more or less have the ears of the regulator or government, as it were, in that sense. So when it comes to policies and to quite a number of things, you know, they would literally still hold sway in that regard. But I mean, to what Ugo said, I really don't disagree 100% with what the person said. I said, oh, what are they really creating, any new thing there? Because they're more or less versions of the same solution that other people have created. I would like to see solutions for, so maybe a fintech solution for agriculture, for example, a fintech solution for education, a fintech solution for healthcare, a fintech solution for...
But they claim they are creating them, but I mean, I don't really know whether we are witnessing or we're experiencing the kind of impact that
I haven't really.
I mean, there are fintech products for agriculture, for example.
Yes.
They currently exist. I mean, even though there's a lot of recently there's been cloud of controversy around some of them, but they exist, you know.
Yeah. So I mean,
it's just that, like, the problem is that, I mean, is he really making the kind of impact that
exactly,
we think he should be making?
Those are the things we should ask.
Yeah. Man. So they're mostly like, you know, headline news, and they all sound really sexy and all that, but
begin to ask yourself, what exactly
happened?
How has it transformed any lives? And I think it goes back to, again, the basics, that we have fundamental challenges, we have fundamental things that we need to sort out as a country first, before we then start talking about, because technology, I mean, I'm a technology enthusiast, a technology promoter, I mean, I'm a technology consultant. So, but the point is, I realize that technology in itself, is completely useless. It's just an enabler. So if I came now and say, I want to create this thing, this speaker. But I don't know how it's going to process sound. I don't know how it's going to process anything like that. So I've created this new technology that nobody can use because we don't know how to get something
to connect it to make it work.
You know, and I see how that's sort of like what we're really experiencing in the marketplace. If we go down and say, what are the challenges within agriculture? We have challenges of our logistics in agriculture. We have processing issues in agriculture. We have things around storage. So there's a lot within that whole space that we haven't been able to capture. And these are just examples in that sense. If we go down and take a lot of the real data and then say, okay, how can we then use technology to enhance or to deliver some of these services? I mean, there's a lady that supplies, so I've got this friend, she helps order strawberries from Joss. Takes them from a greenhouse, puts them on a plane, and they arrive in Lagos.
Interesting.
So how can we not... There are things like that we can scale.
I actually ordered strawberries from Joss recently.
And they're very sweet, very nice.
Kind of foodie, though.
I love my fruits, really.
You know, so it's important that we sit down, look at each industry and look at the verticals and say, look at healthcare, for example. I discovered sometime last year, was it 2 years ago, that a lot of the hospitals actually document cases, medical cases, and they file all those things with local governments in Lagos State, for example.
Mm.
Where are those files? They're sat down somewhere.
They should have been putting clouds and...
You know, so let's digitize that data and start forming a basis to say, this year or last year, in so-so-so area, malaria was prevalent. and not just malaria, this strand of malaria was prevalent. So area, whatever it is, cholera was prevalent, and so on and so forth, and begin to draw down and say, oh, these are probably some of the things that happened around this area due to some of these issues and so on and so forth. You know, to say, oh, this particular drug is not as effective in treating malaria in this particular area because of this and stuff. Use this kind of drug. That kind of intelligence, because healthcare is more about prevention than actually curing anybody. You know, so there's a lot of things that we need to sit down and get. Well, we need to get our hands dirty. You know, it really, really back to the drawing board. FinTech seems to have taken flight because we already have a lot of those infrastructures. We had some foreigners. We had people who were able to do it, you know, through the backing of the banks, the regulators, and so on and so forth like that there. And I think they've done really well. You know, but what's the next phase going to be like ultimately? You know, things like e-commerce, for example, how's that going to really take off? Because e-commerce companies are not necessarily doing as great as.
There were a lot of, remember the Konga takeover of last year that shocked a lot of people.
What was their challenge? What was their challenge?
The market.
If we start, we won't finish it.
Everything. Logistics companies weren't ready. They didn't have packages and plans for that. They had to create their own themselves. But then there's no, even the financial institutions, the payments and so on, what we call fintech, wasn't actually ready for at e-commerce time, itself at that time. You know?
And their overheads were crazy.
Huge.
Do you think that we've got they're getting past some of the problems, or are still facing them?
I think that personally, though, for a lot of all these e-commerce companies, like the ones that went bust last year, or the ones that there were so many that closed shop last year. Closed shop last year, left Nigeria, went somewhere else. Some remained, some were acquired. What we found out, was that it was actually the business model. So they were trying to replicate the kind of business model you probably had in the US or maybe in China and all that. But Nigeria is kind of different. So you got to have like a mixture of e-commerce and brick and mortar here, because you have pure logistic issues. And you also had transportation issues.
Everybody
you had
complains about
issues.
Logistics.
It is, because you don't have. How can e-commerce be very successful when you have a country that you don't have connected railway lines? I mean, how do you move things around? Do you understand? Like Amazon basically rode on the backbone of infrastructure in the United States, or in most of the other countries that they go into. So that's probably why they don't even have a footprint here. Because for you to move goods around, and Nigeria is not that big, because from here to Sokoto is probably 3 hours or there about max if you're flying. So by rail, it's not as far as maybe you're moving from New York to Texas or California or something. So, but you need to have very good road networks, good transportation and all that, because it makes life easier. And then you don't have a very solid, with all the good work NIPOST have done, you don't have a very solid delivery system as well. So all these things are very important for e-commerce to actually thrive. And then what about the internet? My God, should we go there?
Kill transactions,
that. So it's really tough.
And then the fulfillment part of things as well, where you order stuff and some of the vendors or some of the things that don't actually deliver.
Exactly.
Or they deliver something that isn't what it is.
Isn't what they are.
That is a problem. That is a problem a lot of times.
So there's a trust deficit, on a lot of grounds, in that sense there. And so, again, like I said, it just takes all the stakeholders to just literally take a step back and say, what can we do, to jumpstart?
All right, it's still Business of Heart here on Classic FM 97.3. Interesting conversation, just prepping you up for the new year and how to plan yours as well, and looking at the year 2018 in review. We'll be right back after this. Business of Heart here on Classic FM 97.3. Ugo Dre in the studio with me, Taiwo Oyewole. And yes, should we fine him? Ugo.
Yes, we should. This 2019 is red arrow for money.
Honestly. So we're finding anybody
that, even somebody that does not greet you, find him and collect him. Even if it's 100 naira, collect it. It's all money.
It's good to have you in the house, Odion. How are you?
Good morning, Lagos. Happy New Year.
Wish you same.
Good to see you, Ugo Dre.
Taiwo. All right, Lagos. Odio is a friend of your house. I mean, we've had him on this show before. Odio is also an entrepreneur, and Odio has exciting feedback to give anyone. If you know Dion very well, he's the CEO of Modion Communications. I remember when you guys started like 3-4 years ago. you know how I met Odion? It was like head of corporate comms in one of the biggest oil and gas companies in Nigeria. And all of a sudden, he just resigned. I said he went to gas station. I said, why are you sure? Should we do this thing?
Semenyo Gudria.
Craziest decision ever.
Extra.
So, man, I mean, not a lot of time, but tell us, man, like, how has it been? This is like your third year now, isn't it?
Yes, it's a
I just the Ghana Award anyhow. I hope you don't pay for this award.
No, funny.
Well, I mean, how has it been?
Funny, though? We got about 3 to 4 awards last year, and we rejected about same number.
They can reject award?
We reject awards. If
for
we
real?
Think, for example, we got an award for the best PR in Africa. I thought that was... I thought that was overstretched.
This ought to be real.
And again, they look reputable, but again, I couldn't tell what the criteria was.
You were doubting the credibility.
We had a client whom we had to do stuff for in the West African market, but that was it.
That was
the whole Africa.
We
rejected
that. That's been great, really. You just sizing yourself and asking is this true? Is this real? You know,
the
because
award?
A lot of times who just want to cut away awards.
Award is also part of. I mean, Nigeria is a big business, and for everything that has a demand, everything that has a demand, there are challengers out there that are ready to take advantage. But again, that's what market gives you.
I know.
But for the journey, is
been. How's it been?
Looking at this journey. Sometimes you look back and say, maybe I should have taken it earlier. Hmm. But again, all experience all add up. Working in the places where I've worked have given me leverage and full understanding of what PR is.
Hmm.
But nothing had prepared me better than heading straight into entrepreneurship itself. Because I started from inside the sitting room. In my house.
So
people come to my office now, see up to 13 employees and say, oh, wow, because you're working in oil and gas, you took money and started up. But it wasn't like that, actually. We started from zero and it was good. Because the first two staff that started working with us started from my sitting room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was my most difficult moment because I had to psychologically understand that the sitting room was both an office and a living room.
And a living room,
Believe me, if it haven't happened to you before, it can actually bring you down. But the two guys who were working with me, they were very intelligent people. And whenever they answer the call, they gave me a reason to believe that I knew what I was doing. Because they go like, good morning, and this is Modern Communications. I'm like, yeah, this is my house.
You're trying to deal with this psychological.
So they gave me that reassurance that we were actually up to something. Mm. And then we started getting referrals. This business grew on referral.
Yeah.
Once you know what you're doing.
And you do well, people just keep referring.
Yes, people will start referring to. Even some of the people we thought we never renewed our contract actually gave us business another business in 2018.
Mm.
They just told their friend, oh, we have these guys who seem to do magic. Go let them work for you. And so that was very pleasing. We got 50% of what we got last year. We're all referrals, all of them.
Fantastic.
Yes. And
so, but let's look at 2018 in yes. view now for you.
Yes.
It was a challenging year for a lot of people. Like,
my God.
People are complaining, like, let's not bring politics into this, though.
Yes.
I mean, there's been a lot of complaint, anguish, and all the economy, but somehow we kind of survived it
through
2019.
True.
So, for your PR business and a lot of the kind of things that you're into, corporate communications and all, what was that business like last year?
Last year, was challenging for every and for every time the economy slows, it slows for PR as well. Because the first you're an accountant, the first place the accountant will ask the management to go and touch is the marketing fund, and that immediately hits us. But again, what it meant was that were we ready to do more with little funds? We were not going to. So no, we are small, and that helps us because we are able to do things at a speed and nimble, and then. We maintain creativity.
Yeah.
And that is what people want to see. Can you do it at a speed? Can you do it creatively? Can you keep do it at a time that other big organizations can't? For us, we can break a brief down in less than 48 hours. Other will tell you they want to do it in 2 weeks. But it meant that we have to stay in the office sometime 2 a.m. That's what it means to actually keep the business. So when you pay us with another big account, big agency, we'll come up with something very, very good within 48 hours, but we would have completely killed sleep for that. So 2018, we grew our clientele base quite good, up to 50%. But to be sincere, it prepared us for what 2019 will offer. So we entered 2019 with the understanding that the year will be tough. So It meant that we slowed down costs.
So 2019 was like tougher than 2018.
Yes. And I'll tell you why. I started business in 2015, which was an election year. And that was my toughest moment in life. Because the whole of the election period, no corporate took decision.
True.
So they will tell you, oh, yeah, come and do this after plan
election.
For us.
That's right. That would be that's the slogan now. After
yes,
election.
After election. So my eyes were red till President Buhari named this cabinet. And you know when that was. That should have been October. So imagine that I started business on a zero and I had to actually wait on people who were going to fund my business till October. Moment where even my wife started questioning my...
Are you sure, bro?
You know, first he started with body language and then he started with straight on asking like, Odion, maybe you should have just waited there. You know? But again, when the economy kicked in, we saw big client immediately took this, a huge bet on us and changed the... That suffering I endured for 10 months. So within the last 2 months of 2015, we recover from the suffering. But it now taught me that in an election year, you just have to go in there with all the frugality that you have in your in your senses.
Taiwo, that's a good lesson.
So would you tell, right now, you would tell your guy who's thinking, okay, I want to put in my letter this year. I think I want to start something on my own. And you tell him, wait. Until after the elections,
Believe me, entrepreneurship is about understanding what you want to do and having the will to do it. So I cannot say to anyone who has a clear vision of what he wants to do and a clear understanding and strategy on how they would do it to say don't. Because believe me, the mind can conquer the biggest obstacle that you can that can ever be put in front of you. And I think I'm an evidence of that. I'm an evidence that you can actually do that. For those who actually were very close to me, they knew what I mean by starting from zero. It was zero. My story, I'm actually going to write it in a book.
Sorry to cut it short, but let me ask, like, because you were talking about cost and all, and that kind of caught my attention.
Yes.
So for small businesses now looking at the new year and, you know, working on their budget and plans, do you think that, of course, coming from the back of the unemployment rate that we just saw recently, do you think now is the time to hire? I mean, should it be hiring now or should it be waiting after election?
If it's critical, for example, to keep... a business. So our strategy this year is to first of all maintain all the clientele base. So if you think what you have right now doesn't help you to maintain that client base, you can hire. But if it's to push new market frontier, hold on please.
Quite an interesting one.
That's a strong lesson for you. I mean, Odion is always fun to have on the show. I think we're going to have him again before this mod runs out, because he has a whole
apologies
lot.
To Lagos.
A whole lot to keep. Like,
coming in late.
I mean, like, so there's a lot of
crazy
things that we can discuss. Like, you guys, I mean, like, there's just so much.
So, for 2019, what do you anticipate?
2019, again, like I said, we are entering 2019 believing that the Nigerian economy will bounce back. There's no reason for us not to think so. There is positive projection out there. I also do not think that there will be the electioneering is going to cause our reserve to deplete like we saw in 2015. Buhari is very frugal person.
Looks
and
like
I don't think
no
he's
election.
Going to, he's not going to open the vault and pump out dollars. So I don't fear that foreign exchange will take a hit from the electioneering. I think that Nigerian is a market that is ever evolving, and as such, if you know what your opportunity are and you are sure of them, you definitely have to do something about that. And then because we stand in this space where we connect businesses to a customer, we know that we stand to benefit.
So you feel there are a lot of opportunities lurking in 2019 if you actually open your eyes and you're willing to latch on them.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me ask one question about your industry. In the past 10 years or thereabouts, there have been a lot of changes in your industry, you know, the advertising, communication, the marketing industry in itself. What kind of outlook do you have for 2019 for your industry? Are the small players going to rise up and steal more clientele from the big ones? Or are the big ones going to bring out the hammer?
I think that the today's technology affords small agencies like us to actually give the big agency a huge run. We can do research faster thanks to Google. and because our business is based on insights and strategy, it means that we can do research at the same depth and scale with what technology has afforded us, as same with the big agencies. So for me, the bigger you are in this industry, the more you struggle with small players who know what they're going to offer. So yes, there will be small agencies stealing big clients from
everyone.
Big agencies.
Yeah, there you have it.
Yeah, ready. Oh my God! I think we've basically come to the end of the show. We've gone past time. Thanks, Ukola, for giving us some extra. Lagos. I mean, that's it for today. We're gonna have Odion again on the show. Sometime this month, the Nairametrics team would basically communicate to everyone again when it's going to come on. And this time around, we hope if he leaves, because I mean, to leave his house by 5, you cannot come and blame him again. You want him to leave by 3. Somebody wakes up and leaves his house by 5.
And he's going to the island.
Traffic is about mood, it's about timing in Lagos. It's very weird.
Yes, I also think weird. I took the wrong route. Yeah. So I should have just taken it Korodu Road to Tornmilan Bridge.
Well, maybe.
Because when I rewrote my plan, I got here in 15 minutes.
Wow.
So
thank you so much.
It was a wrong move.
It's good having you guys on. Is it the first Monday of the year? No, it is.
It is the first Monday.
It's the first official thing. That's good. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks.